CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. The PLA Eastern Theater Command revealing details of a recent Navy strike group drill. Translation, this is the People's Republic of China's Navy operating in the seas off of Taiwan. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, is with me, and we're very pleased to welcome Rick Fisher, our guide on matters as arcane as the PLA Eastern Theater Command. However, this points to threat. Rick is Senior Fellow of the International Assessment and Strategy Center. Rick, why am I reading this in the South China Morning Post? Why is the PLA Eastern Theater Command keen to give me these photographs of large warships? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Yes, the South China Morning Post is doing its regular job. It is the psychological warfare organ that promotes activities of the People's Liberation Army to accentuate coercive effects against China's enemies, to include all the democracies in Asia. The writers for the South China Morning Post that do this job, individuals like Minnie Chan, Liu Zhen, and others, are very expert in what they say and have incredible access to sources in the mainland and in the PLA. But I view them as the Tokyo Roses of our time. And in a series of articles, the South China Morning Post has done its job and highlighted a number of aspects of what are to date the most sophisticated People's Liberation Army naval and air exercises around Taiwan. These began around May 3rd and have continued. They center on the Liaoning aircraft carrier with five or six supporting ships, including newly launched cruisers. And on about May 5, 6, 7, the PLA Air Force and PLA Naval Air Force launched large numbers of aircraft in their usual intimidation flights into the Taiwan Air Defense Identification Zone. And it's safe to presume that the Liaoning was coordinating with the ground-based aircraft in these exercises. However, much of what is happening, and of course accentuated by the South China Morning Post, is disinformation. The People's Liberation Army is just not going to fight a war against the United States and Taiwan as it is conducting these intimidation exercises. In my opinion, the PLA is going to emphasize missiles and submarines in conjunction with a very sharp attack against American assets in low Earth orbit. That is going to be the initial strike. If they sortie aircraft and ships, large ships like their aircraft carrier, that means that they've already eliminated possible threats from Japanese and American military forces, especially in Okinawa. So what we're seeing today and what the South China Morning Post is telling us all about on almost a daily basis is about intimidation. And it hasn't gotten as bad as it's going to get. The PLA has not been firing missiles around Taiwan. That's going to happen fairly soon. And eventually, John, I expect that they will do an atmospheric test of a tactical nuclear weapon as well.
Gordon, you have a question for Rick. And is there anything unusual coming out of Beijing these days about attacking Taiwan? Go ahead, Gordon.
Yeah, John, I think to answer your question, it's the frequency of what China is saying. And of course, it is more hostile than it's been in the past. So it's as we hear more and more of this, we've got to be concerned, especially because of the intense infighting at the top of the Communist Party. This really is a matter of great concern. Rick, you talk about these articles as being a part of an intimidation exercise. What is the effect, as much as you can discern it, of the effect in Taiwan itself of China's propaganda campaign?
Well, of course, there's concern, and Taiwan has had to adjust the flow of budgetary resources, military resources, to try to put up some front against this intimidation campaign. But it's also important to realize that all Taiwanese have lived all of their lives under this threat. And it has ebbed and flowed over the decades, but now it's very serious. Many of them understand that. Perhaps they are not treating it as serious enough, and there is constant dialogue with friends in the United States and increasingly in Japan and other places to convince our friends in Taiwan to adopt an appropriately seriously stance and to be purchasing the kinds of weapons that they require to hold this threat off at as far a distance as possible and to defeat it should it approach the shores of Taiwan.
Rick, what is anti-access and area denial strategy as practiced by China?
John, it is a strategy that coordinates space, air, ground-based missile, cruise missile, missiles from surface ships and submarines to mass and strike near simultaneously American assets, especially in Japan and at sea, and then to strike Japanese bases that could be used to support American reinforcements that would come to help defend Taiwan.
So what we're looking at here is the PLA is building up a strategy that is the mere opposite of the strategy that's been recommended for Taiwan, to deny the ability of forces to project power into Taiwan's area. Does the PLA have the strength to do that now? What is the assessment, Rick?
Well, if the Americans were diverted, let's say we had to send all our aircraft carriers to fight Russia or to fight North Korean nuclear attack against South Korea or Japan, yes, today, sadly, China does have sufficient forces to intimidate Taiwan to the point that it may get what it really wants, which is the beginning of a political negotiation process that would lead to Taiwan's surrender. They could probably do that, John, but it would come at some cost, we would have to have the submarines at least in place in order to deter a massive PLA show of force against Taiwan and allow it to survive.
Gordon?
Rick, you talk about area denial. From our previous conversations on this show, you've mentioned that China has longer range cruise missiles than the United States has. What is the U.S. doing to increase the range of its missiles? Because it would seem to me that this would be an important element in figuring out what we can do in terms of China.
Yes, Gordon. Under the Trump administration, wise decisions were made to begin producing a series of theater missiles after the Trump administration left the 1987 Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia, or the former Soviet Union. The United States is now testing a new 500 to 800 kilometer range missile. It is also about to start testing about a 2,000 kilometer range, medium range ballistic missile, and it is on the verge of initial deployments of a 4,000 to 5,000 kilometer range intermediate range ballistic missile. All of these are needed as quickly as possible. But what we also need are nuclear-armed versions of these missiles to include nuclear-armed cruise missiles. And the Biden administration has just canceled the Trump administration initiative to put a tactical nuclear-armed, sea-launched cruise missile back into production. This, in my opinion, is a grave, grave mistake.
Rick Fisher, International Assessment and Strategy Center, Gordon Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,